KFI AM 640 live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. This is the Bill Handel Show, and it's 9 o'clock, so without further ado, Bill Handel.
Guys, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, because my phone, I'm on a landline, so I don't know what happened to my phone. Technology. Good morning, everybody. Good morning, Wayne.
Good morning. And what's on your mind
good
today?
Good morning. Well, a couple things, and I'm hoping I can share both of them. But we can't wear white anymore, I think. It's over. Now, here is the question. Other than Colonel Sanders, who wears white?
Did Tattoo on Fantasy Island wear white, or was that Mr. Rourke that wore a white
suit? Oh, I think they both did.
Yeah, so the cast of Fantasy Island.
I feel better. Thank you. Now that I know the answer to that. Okay, so let's go through it a little bit. And the big news, which of course is not Ida, and we have what's going on. The big news, Ida is the big news, frankly. 40 people dead, if I heard Jennifer correctly. And it's a god-awful mess. And New Orleans got hit again. Although there, a lot of people are not talking about the levees that they built, the seawall that they built actually held the Lake Pontefract it held, it did not flood out other than the rain coming from Ida, but that storm surge that everybody was accepting didn't come. So I know that the president today is going to be visiting, I think, New York, and there's controversy with the president visiting all the time. You can't win when you're president, because the argument is, and this is what George W. Bush, when Katrina was around, is he flew over it and looked down from the helicopter, and he got such grief for flying over Katrina and its aftermath, that he was attacked by the left, the Democrats, saying that's all you care about. It's a photo op flying over and big deal. You know, nothing like a photo op for any president. The other side of it, had he landed, and this is what George Bush said, the resources that it takes to bring a president in can be used to actually deal with a catastrophe. So there's no win. It's all a loss anywhere around. Okay, so there's that's being covered. Now, the other story is, of course, the recall here in California. 2003, Gray Davis was the last time it happened. As a matter of fact, it was the only time it happened. And did you know that the recall of a governor, especially here in California, first time in the history of California, second time in the history of the United States where a recall has been effectuated. And that was a very different recall, because in 2003 with Gray Davis, it had mainly to do with the energy crisis. And he was getting blamed, rightly so, for that. This time around, it is... there is some argument about fire management. There is some argument about how the businesses and the masks. I mean, I think those are legitimate arguments. Is that enough to recall a governor? Wouldn't be if it weren't for the politics of the day. Because you vote against, if you're a Republican, you vote against the current governor. If you are Democrat, you vote in favor of keeping Newsom in office. And it's really all political. And the politics of it are horrible. But is he going to lose? Well, it's a question of how many Democrats the Democratic Party can muster and go out to the polls. And the problem is to go out to the polls and vote no, not for any particular candidate, is no joke. It is a very difficult thing to do. I think Republicans, it'll be Larry Elder, incidentally, if the governor is recalled. And if it turns out that Democrats do not have enough votes where the recall is put in place, then we have a new governor. We have a talk show host, Larry Elder, who I've known for 30 years. And boy, what he has done politically. He has made that jump so successfully that I think there is a pretty good chance that he might win. I went from it's impossible for him to win, there's no chance for him to win, to all right, there's a small chance for him to win. Now I think it's 50-50. And it's going to be a very interesting state, to say the least. Schools will be open, except for school districts have their own decision-making, their own ability to make decisions as to whether open or close. Now, the governor has the ability to mandate masks. That will never happen under a Republican administration. It just won't happen. No way. And same thing with vaccinations. You have to prove your vaccination. Yesterday, we talked about how I got my booster because I was yelling at the pharmacy clerk, and I was able to get the booster, so I feel much better. But here in particularly L.A. County, incidentally, because it was L.A. County in the Bay Area that voted no as to Gray Davis being recalled. The rest of California voted yes by, I think, 5%. It was like 55% voted for the recall, which is enormous. And we're going to see how much money is being spent, and it is really expensive here to run in California for statewide anything. And it's just going to be fascinating to see. This will be the first recall that is purely political. Argument with Newsom and how he dealt with masks and schools. But how many businesses can we go into L.A. County that don't let you walk in the door unless you have a mask? And we're soon going to have businesses, and this is going on and on and on, where if you can't prove you have been vaccinated, you're not coming in the door. And so L.A. County is going to be an outlier across the country. So that's basically it.
I think there's one more thing, though, that you would like to say a thank you,
I
believe.
And let's go ahead and broadcast the name of the company, because I have a few here. And frankly, I forgot which one we're doing today.
Direct Buyers LLC.
Yeah, directbuyers.com. Matt and Janet, brother and sister act. And what I really like about directbuyers.com is not only they buy your house, and they'll buy it without going into the house, they'll buy it without any inspection, they'll buy it as is. And it's directbuyers.com is the name of the company. And going back for a moment, the reason I really like directbuyers.com is when we meet for lunch every quarter or so, we always go to the best Mediterranean restaurant in the Glendale area. And I kebab it like crazy.
I bet you do.
That's a verb, you know.
To kebab?
To kebab. He kebabs, we kebab, we have kebabbed, you will kebab.
All right, Direct Buyers LLC.
Yep.
All right, man. Yeah. Hey, we will talk to you tomorrow. Now, listen, tomorrow we have a special guest. So I'll be here. Jen will be here. And also Laura Ingle. You remember her when
Laura.
She was a reporter here. Now she's with Fox News. She will also be here tomorrow. So
yeah,
don't be rude.
I remember. And then TV stole her away.
Yes.
And that's happened a few times. Eric Leonard was stolen by TV.
Mm-hmm.
Because, frankly, people like to see their faces on television. I'm fine just looking in the mirror in the morning saying, hey, you're terrific. You're a very special guy. So I stop at that point. But Laura was a great reporter, is a great reporter. And so that should be a lot of fun, her joining the crowd here at KFI for tomorrow.
All right. We will talk to you tomorrow.
All right. You
All right,
got it.
See you later.
Bye.
There he goes, Bill Handel, the star of the show. Let's get a news update from Jennifer Jones Lee, and then why aren't dudes going to college anymore? It's KFI AM 640 live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
I want to go to college for the rest of my life. Sip Bankers Club and drink Miller Lite. On Thursday and Tuesday night ice. And I can get pizza a dollar a slice. So fill up my cup. Let's get muffed up. I'm next on the table. Who want what?
KFI AM 640 live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. What kind of an example is this to be setting for the children?
Not in my house.
It's the Bill Handel Show. Bill was just here. Some thoughts of the day. He'll be back tomorrow. And let's talk about why guys don't want to go to college anymore. At the close of the last academic year, women were 59.5% of college students in this country. That is an all-time high. If you want to look at four-year private schools, women are 61%. Also a record high. There's been a decline overall in the number of people enrolled in colleges and universities. Last academic year, there were 1.5 million fewer students compared to 5 years before, but men are making up 71% of that decline. The bottom line is guys are not applying to college. Why? Well, there's been a lot of surveys. It's difficult to really find out because everybody's an individual. But in surveys, there's some common threads. And one of them is that guys say, it's just not worth it. It's not worth the extra time and trouble and expense to get the college degree. I want to start making money right out of high school. And the standard narrative in this country has been, you get a college degree because you will make more money. And that is true. It remains true. But men more than women have become disillusioned with that idea. Women are starting to be more forward-looking about it. And men, I guess, are opting for immediate gratification. I get my high school diploma. I get some job somewhere. I start getting a paycheck now. Well, what about going to college? You'll make more later. Nah, not up for it, bro. Now, socials, that's what happens if you ask men why they don't want to go. Social scientists have come up with another theory. I'll tell it to you, that there are certain pressures in society that weigh against going to college, and that these pressures affect men more than women. And they're citing things like video games, increased fatherlessness, pornography. Wait, why didn't you go to college? I love porn so much. I didn't go to college. Overdiagnosis of things like attention deficit disorder in young boys, the medications that are given to those boys that are diagnosed that way. And so it's those things that are creating a generation of men less inclined to get a higher education. And it's leading some schools to do something that's probably illegal. Schools have been dealing for a while with trying to deal with the racial inequality and gender inequality on their campuses, and also with the problem of sexual harassment and assault of women on campus. Now they find themselves with fewer men enrolling. And instead of being content to just let the numbers fall where they may, they're trying to now manipulate it. So there are some schools that are starting to accept more male applicants. This is, and my gosh, if you're somebody who's part of a social group that has struggled with prejudice and unequal treatment for all these years, this has got to make you crazy. Affirmative action for dudes. There's a woman named Jennifer Delahunty. She's currently a college enrollment consultant, but she was the head of the admissions offices at a couple of colleges before. And she said, here's what's going on right now. They're putting the thumb on the scale on behalf of guys. Let's get a news update from Jennifer Jones Lee. And then Psychologists say that they have found a way for you to feel better during this pandemic. And I'll tell you what it is. KFI AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. AM 640 live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. This is the Bill Handel Show. Tyler, when is the podcast for 9 o'clock, I guess this hour? When do you think that might be up? Because if people are just tuning in, they missed Bill at 9 o'clock. So I want to give them, I don't want to say go get the podcast right now if it's not up. And I don't want to say, you know, I want to have some good advice.
I would say the podcast usually isn't up any later than 10:30, so 30 minutes past showtime.
All right, very good, because Bill's coming in at 9 o'clock telling us what he thinks of the news of the day, and he's getting very close. This is the point. It's a recovery process when you have a heart valve replacement. Everything's going normally. I know it's taking a long time. It takes a long time for anybody, and he is getting nearer and nearer and nearer to the recovery, the full recovery, and coming back. So during this pandemic, a lot of people got depressed. A lot of people felt lonely, isolated, all of those bad things. And there's an organization, and this is very, very cool. There's an organization called the Psychological Science Accelerator. It is a consortium, if you will, of hundreds of researchers all over the globe. They pool their ideas and their resources so that they can do psychological and mental health studies with huge participant pools and with the most rigorous attention to study design and scientific, I guess, validity. And there's a reason that they exist. Because the fact is, the world of psychological research has been real hit or miss in terms of the quality. You know, the thing they say about science is, if you can replicate it, it's science. If I take chemical A and I put it with chemical B in a test tube and it turns blue, then you should be able to do it, and somebody else, and 10 years later, it should still turn blue. So if I do it and say chemical A and B turn blue and you do it and it doesn't turn blue, that's not science. Then you got to question, what were my methods? You might even have to question, what was my motivation? And the world of psychological research was riddled with this problem. So all these people got together and they formed this Psychological Science Accelerator. Now, they just finished a massive worldwide study. People from 87 different countries involved in this study. They were trying to see if a certain cognitive technique could help people feel better during this pandemic, and by extension, feel better during any times of great difficulty. And the short news and the good news is, yes, they found something that works. The study's been published in the journal Nature Human Behavior, if you're a person who would like to go read that study. And it has to do with this cognitive technique of reappraisal. Cognitive behavioral therapy is basically recognizing that before you have your feelings, you almost always have some kind of thoughts. And your thoughts lead to your feelings. If you think bad things, you're going to feel bad. So you have cognitive reappraisal, and this is looking at your situation and thinking about it differently. And it seems like it's really hard to do. And it's not the easiest thing in the world to do. But one of the reasons it seems so hard to think differently is because we keep confusing our emotions and our thoughts. So like, if you're bummed out about something, and a therapist says, well, you have to think about the situation differently. You're like, what do you mean? I'm bummed out about it. But once you can separate the thoughts you're having from the feelings that you're feeling, you become capable of reappraising the situation. One way of doing it is, we call it, let's say, call it the silver lining approach. There may be 15 things that are terrible about your life in the pandemic, but there might be something that's actually better. Maybe you've been able to spend more time with your pet, or maybe you've been able to spend more time with your family. Yes, I'm well aware of the order in which I presented those. So you would be able to focus on that, and suddenly you're thinking about your situations a little different, and then you'll find that you feel better about your situation. It seems to be working very, very well. So that's one approach, is focusing, like looking on the bright side, basically. The other thing they call reconstruing, which is going a little bit farther than just trying to find the silver lining or looking on the bright side. And reconstruing is, you put it in a context. In other words, right now there's a big challenge in your life. This was done mostly for the pandemic, but it can apply to any time you're going through a hard time. And you start to pull back and look at the context. Well, people have gone through all kinds of hard times, and they've come through it. And so I'm going through a hard time, but it's not unique. It's not unprecedented. And there's plenty of evidence that I can get through this just fine. And you will find all of a sudden that your attitude is better and your feelings are better. And so, on the one hand, when I say researchers have found a way to feel better during the pandemic or other hard times, it is something you have to work on. It's not like there's a pill you can take, or there's a, if you take your hand and you bend your pinky finger and your first finger, that you'll feel better. It's not like a super easy thing you can do, but it's an approach that can be taken. Now the question becomes, okay, I don't think I can do it completely by myself. I'm going to need a help from somebody. And mental health treatment can be hard to access. It can be very expensive. So another thing that they're looking at, single session interventions. Not once a week, twice a week with a therapist for months on end, but single sessions where you get with a clinician and you don't necessarily have to go there. This would be delivered online or through some other remote method. They give you a practical approach to pursuing the goal. And you, from that single session, are able to start working on the issue. That has been shown to be quite effective. Especially if you have a serious mental health crisis, single session intervention is not going to help you. But this kind of thing we're talking about, being a little depressed, being a little bummed out, maybe being pessimistic, single session intervention can help a lot. So thanks to these people, and there's thousands of them at the Psychological Science Accelerator, we're getting some practical answers to some common problems. And unlike a lot of other research, the stuff they're doing is grade A, top-notch, solid. Because I'll be the first one to tell you, just because some study comes out and says something doesn't mean anything. There's a lot of BS in science. But also, I would say, that doesn't mean there is no science. It doesn't mean that science is BS. It means those studies aren't science. All right. I would like a news update from Jennifer Jones Lee. And then, some college athletes are finding themselves with a new job on top of the schoolwork and the training for the sport that they play. I'll tell you what that job is. It's KFI AM 640 live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. KFI AM 640 live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. It is the Bill Handel Show. Bill is getting very close to the full recovery from that heart surgery. He was here at 9 o'clock, and there'll be a podcast available in the next hour, maybe a little sooner. In case you missed that, Bill's going to be here at 9 o'clock every day this week. Tomorrow, co-hosting the show and keeping in the tradition of homecomings, because former KFI intern Kat Timpf was here recently co-hosting. Tomorrow, former KFI reporter, now with Fox News, Laura Ingle is going to be here. And I don't know if Jennifer Jones Lee is still around somewhere. I'm kind of hoping not, because you want to listen tomorrow. Laura Ingle, of course, worked at KFI, so I know Laura Ingle a little bit. But Jennifer Jones Lee and Laura Ingle have been friends, and I'm going to call it healthy, respectful rivals in the news business, going way back, way before KFI. And they're both going to be on the show tomorrow for the whole show. So it's going to be something. I can promise you that. Now, some top stories we're following for you at KFI. Shortages of supplies, as well as shortages of workers, are going to delay all of the needed repairs and rebuilding in the Gulf area, particularly in New Orleans. It's also going to make rebuilding super expensive. And American Airlines has told their employees that if you are not vaccinated for COVID-19 and you get it, you will not get the special pandemic leave. You will just have to use and burn up your regular sick leave, and hopefully you have enough of it. Whereas the employees who got vaccinated, they won't have to do that should they get COVID-19. Now, let's talk about a new job that college athletes have. You know that college kids now are allowed to make money from their name, image, and likeness. They can strike endorsement deals with various products and companies and brands. And depending on what level of college athlete you are, it can be quite lucrative. It can also be basically a full-time job. And coaches now, in college athletic programs, in addition to having to coach all of the skills of the sport and the strategies of the sport and run practices and, you know, all of that, they are now preparing programs for these athletes to follow to grow their social media presence and therefore their ability to make money from their name, image, and likeness. So, for example, at Duquesne University, one of the coaches there, Jordan Rooney, he's a former college football player. He is now a branding agency CEO. They've hired him at Duquesne to help the men's basketball team make money. So you have a weight training program that you have to follow. You'll have a conditioning program you have to follow. You'll have that whole thing where you have to analyze plays and watch videos of plays and run scrimmages if you're in football, whatever. Now, you've also got a program for your social media. For example, on a particular day, a student athlete looking to make money will have to do a half hour looking at TikTok and writing down the trends that they're seeing on TikTok. Then spend half an hour doing a particular kind of video. Different kinds of videos are prescribed on different days. Could be a dancing video. Could be a motivational video where you speak to the camera and motivate people. Could be one of these day in the life videos. Here I am. Here's my breakfast that I eat. Here I am in the weight room. Here I am, I don't know, in my class. There's a kid named Noah Bono. And he's not a super big-time athlete, but he is on the Duquesne University men's basketball team. And he was looking to maybe profit from his name, image, and likeness. And he likes pizza. And he doesn't have a ton of money, but he's been spending a lot of money on pizza because he likes it. So he went into a local pizza parlor in the Shadyside neighborhood in Pittsburgh, and he said, listen, I'd like to do a partnership with you. I don't want money. I don't want you to pay me money. This is all I want. Give me a free pizza once a week. and I will wear your t-shirt and your hoodie around the campus and, you know, rep your brand. I'll tell people about your pizza and that I love your pizza. And they said, yeah, okay, we'll think about it. So he's waiting to hear from this pizza parlor. Now, you can see how it is low stakes at that point. A pizza a week. But I guess the idea is if you put enough time into it, you can grow your wealth as a college athlete. Bono estimates that he spends 10 hours a week specifically working on his social media so that he can be a more desirable student athlete to form partnerships with. In Pittsburgh, let's say instead of being on the Duquesne basketball team, if you're a Pitt quarterback, you walk into that pizza parlor, they're going to throw pizzas at you and probably throw money at you too. So what'll happen here is some kids will make a lot of money and do very well, and other kids will struggle. And they won't really be able to make enough money to make all the time that they'll put into chasing it worth it. Gary and Shannon are coming up right now after a news update. It's KFI AM 640 live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.